This is Richard Randall. Thanks for listening. The podcast will begin in about 10 seconds.
We've been telling you about our friends at American Financing for some time now. They are sponsoring this hour's podcast. Work with salaried loan officers. Get pre-approved in an hour. Close as fast as 8 days. 630-8181 or online at AmericanFinancing.net.
Richard Randall is on now on Colorado 740 KVOR.
Good morning. Welcome to the program. We have got the mayor on today. He'll be on at 9, from 9 o'clock to 10 o'clock. The good news is if you're heading to work or you don't have an opportunity to listen to the entire broadcast with the mayor, you can, of course, always go to KVOR.com, check out the podcast there, or you can go to the Richard Randall Rewind and listen from 10 to 11 o'clock. You get a chance to listen to the mayor. The good news is when you are doing it in real time this morning, you'll have an opportunity to call in and either comment or question the mayor. This is accountability at its very best. The mayor made a commitment before he was ever elected to come on the program one time per month and to answer questions directly from you. And I have to tell you, that's easier said than done. There are a lot of politicians who don't like that because all of a sudden they're on a hot seat and they don't know what the question is going to be. I delight in knowing that every day there is a row of buttons in front of me and my producer. They start flashing red. On the good days, they start flashing red. And it will be you or one of your neighbors or somebody that you are friends with or a different caller or listener to the program. And when I push that button, I don't know for sure what I'm going to get. There are some people that I generally know what they're going to say, but we may disagree on this issue or that issue. 90% of the time we're on the same page, but they're going to call me up and say, Richard, you big dope, I can't believe you even think this. Or there's some people who are just vitriolic day after day after day. There are the people who think that I am screw tape. Isn't that wonderful? Screw tape. Okay, I'm just a guy trying to do a radio show here. We're going to do open phones between now and the top of the hour. We have not done that much since open phones, I should say. We have not done open phones very frequently since the Boston bombing, and I'm not apologetic about that. While the mainstream media wants to move on from Boston, while the president and the Democrats want to move on from Boston, pretend that there is no war on terror and minimize any threat to our country, because they're afraid of the repercussions. Because you might be saying, why in the world would they want to do that? I mean, most of us are still rattled by this. I'm glued to the internet. I'm glued to every source, television, radio, right here on 740 KVOR, trying to glean more and more information about how this could happen in Boston. And what are we finding? Well, we're finding now that the mom is saying, you know what? I know I said my son was framed and all of this, but it turns out as far back as 2011, I knew that he had been radicalized. And in fact, as far as 2011, I thought that he might die for his own religion. Pretty significant thing. When your kid comes to you and says he's willing to die for anything, including our country, I'm willing to join the military, Mom. I'm going to go fight and risk my life for this country. That's a pretty big step. Maybe one day we'll do it. In fact, we will. Make the note of this, producer, on my to-do list. One day we will do a show on what would you be willing to die for? Because I know that virtually every parent and every mother, every grandparent out there would be willing to die for their children, their grandchildren. Would you die for your religion? Why would your religion ask you to die for it is one of the questions. I mean, I don't hear too many. Again, I keep going back and I trot out all of these Catholic, Jew, and Protestant religions and say, who's being asked to die? What Lutherans? All right, you know, and we've got different synods and whatnot. Missouri Synod Lutherans, how many of you, raise your hands, are going to be willing to die for your religion this week? Why would we be having to die for our religion? Oh, we don't have a jihad going on against anybody else. We might have disagreed with some of the other Lutherans, so we broke off and went our own ways. Here's the bottom line, though. The mother knew that the son was radicalized. Moms, I have to tell you, and I learned this very early on when I was a television anchor and reporter and covering trials in Illinois and here in Colorado. Moms will stand by their kids no matter what. It doesn't matter what the evidence is. They can sit in a courtroom and listen to the most horrific testimony about their child. And based on love based on this grizzly bear mentality. They will stand by their child no matter what. And I used to think that it was just horrific. I mean, my God, this kid raped somebody and the mom is sitting there actually lying to give him an alibi so that he'll get off of this crime. And somewhere along the way, I kind of came to understand that God's strongest bond is between a man and a woman. I mean, that's strong, but I mean between a mother and her child. So we have a mom who is going to defend her kid. Father still says that they're framed. Real quickly, and we'll go to Wes Rogers here. He is an expert on Russia. He's an expert on Chechnya and on terrorism as well. But we have to be careful about the Russians. They have shown that they are capable of reaching out around the world to the United Kingdom, for instance, to kill their enemies or dissidents. They're not good guys. But when it comes to this issue of them warning us about a not just Chechen rebel, Putin today, Wes Rogers, is saying, hey, look, not only did we warn you about this guy, we gave you a heads up about this guy. And you know, I could just see Putin with an I told you so kind of attitude, but saying that the United States did very little to discourage Chechen rebels. And I understand how this game is played. When it came to Afghanistan, we were supplying shoulder-fired Stinger missiles to jihadists, including al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, to fight the Russians who had invaded Afghanistan. And we knew that the Mujahideen were Islamist fundamentalists. I don't think we ever anticipated that they would come back to haunt us. But Putin saying that, you know, we haven't done a very good job of assisting Russia when it came to the Chechen rebels. Walk us through where Russia has been in the past on this issue, Wes, and really your analysis of Putin and the level of cooperation to this point and what we can anticipate in the future. Do you think things will be better between the United States and Russia?
Yeah, Richard, when it comes to the war on terrorism and jihad Islamic radicalism, Russia has had more problems than us. Vladimir Putin and his country in the U.S. and NORAD do constant exercises each year. It was Vladimir Putin himself, one of the five countries who gave us leads about the pending 9/11 attack. What happened? Well, we responded again. We're becoming a nation of responders. But we can depend on them on a lot of this stuff. And there has been a breakdown in the investigations of guys like these two, one Boston bomber who went over to Chechnya. What they do, I was based at, well, first of all, I've been covering terrorism intensely since the mid-1990s when we were attacked at the World Trade Center in 93, TWA-800, but that was not radical Islamist. 9/11, of course, the Boston bombings now, and what next? Many of the terrorists actually are based in the Chechen and also Kazakhstan, Azerbaijan areas, and that's where they filtered. I was in Ukraine, and I worked with Andrei Zabrienko, a very top international reporter in Kiev, and we conducted a raid with SBU. Well, the SBU conducted the raid in the Crimea, and they were there. And it was an organization called Hizbut Tahrir. Now, these Chechen rebels and Hizbut Tahrir, they're notorious. And the reason is they use something called subliminal theocratic indoctrination to make people believe that they're really good guys. Not so. Don't believe it. Don't believe any more of these jihad Islamists. You saw what happened with these two guys in Boston. Yes, I think if our agents and our intel community works harder with Russia, that is an ally that will not attack us or anything like that because they have a major problem. They've been bombed at the subways, at the airport, and other key areas. So I have no fear of them. I have a fear of the Americans and some of the intel communities like up in Canada. And you can check this out. I've got a major video clip on my website, patriotstv.com, on the Worldwide Terrorism TV page, It's got the whole thing about IBET, Integrated Border Enforcement Team in Canada. Canada just busted some guys. They didn't attack there. They did the thing on the Toronto plot about 5 years ago also. So I don't think we have to worry about Russia on that. Other things, maybe so. They don't want war, and we don't want war, but we don't want, nobody wants terrorism, but except for the Jihad Islamists. And there's an organization, Hizbut Tahrir, and they probably had a lot of influence on these two Boston bombers and many others. So people can go to my site, the Worldwide Terrorism TV page on patriotstv.com, and you'll see some clips from that raid in the Crimea back in 2006. And, Richard, it's time that we have to be tough. And that's all I'll say now regarding the Benghazi investigation. There's going to be a number of hearings soon. John Boehner says that it goes well, then there may be a select committee for the Benghazi attack.
We're going to take a short intermission. When we come back, we'll talk more with Wes Rogers. He is an international expert, not just on Russia, the former Soviet Union, and Chechnya, and terrorism, but also on the Middle East. And there's a lot going on in the Middle East. We have an Iran-built drone flying toward Israel today. They shot it down. That's the second time that sort of thing has happened. Imagine terrorists with drones, not just in the Middle East, but here in the United States. One of the fears after September 11th that I heard from a lot of people, it hasn't come to pass, was to pack a small Cessna airplane with explosives, put GPS guiding systems into it, and then fly it into a football stadium, fly it into an office building. This is a time when we need to be careful, and one of the things that we need is transparency and honesty. We're going to talk with West about Benghazi, the latest developments. It turns out that Hillary Clinton did sign materials denying additional security in Benghazi, and just why Benghazi is so important. I know there are probably people out there who day after day hear me talk about this and say, Richard, I'm with John Kerry. Let's move on from Benghazi. I'm with Hillary Clinton. You know, what difference does it make? Makes a huge difference. We'll explain why when we come back.
We're all different, but there's one place we can all turn to stay informed. AM 740 KVOR and KVOR.com.
Richard Randall, the mayor, is coming up in just a couple of minutes. He'll be with us for an hour. And the best thing to do is to call in 540-0740. There are a couple of open lines. You can ask him directly what question, issue you have, or you can make a comment. I got to tell you, the comment part is every bit as valid as a question. Many times people say, well, I don't really have a question for the mayor. Well, they have a comment for the mayor, and that could be good job, or I'm concerned about this, whatever it happens to be. I think the mayor appreciates the feedback from my listeners every bit as much as I do in terms of it being good radio. I think he thinks that it's good government. You can also do that by texting me, 964-6852, 964-6852, or if you just posted on Facebook, I can pass those questions on to the mayor as well. Let's go back to Wes Rogers, an expert on Russia and terrorism. Libya is not going away, in spite of what Hillary Clinton would like, in spite of what John Kerry and this administration would like. And today, they are, Republicans are, they're calling for disclosure of a classified timeline about Benghazi. This is something that I craved from the very instant. I wanted to know exactly when and what was going on both in the Middle East and here in the United States. What warnings were given to various assets and troops? Did they get into the air? Were they in fact close? Were they in fact on their way? Was the president paying attention to this, or was he out doing golf? The American public, when it comes to transparency, should know what is going on. We've only got a couple of minutes here real quickly, Wes, but why is Benghazi still important?
It is because for the first time in U.S. history, all the American armed forces never got an order to do something to save an ambassador who had been asking for help for 4 months. Lieutenant Colonel Wood, who was the head of a 16-man brigade, who called with him to the State Department and other agencies such as the CIA even, never got a response. In fact, they took away the regiment he was in, They took away the airplane, and no one did nothing. If I was president, I'd say, get a general, say, Ambassador, this is General Rogers. Prepare your people. We're coming in 0-1700. We're getting out of there. That's what the British did. That's what the French did. We did nothing. And there's a Proposition 36 right now, and Congressman Crawford introduced that, and it's a long list of former military and current military special operations officers, because they're mad that they didn't get a chance to save our ambassador and CIA agents. So you will be hearing it. And if our soldiers are doing this, and special ops and, you know, our CIA guys, what more can I say? They're in the game, and they're very embarrassed by it, because people seem to feel they didn't do anything. No one got the word.
All right, Wes Rogers, thank you so much. I can tell how this much this means to you, and it means that much to these 700 people. And it takes a lot for them to stand up and say, we're retired, we're active, you know, our friends are active, and you didn't let us even try to do what we are trained to do, what other nations have done. And it reminds me of some of the cops who were outside of Columbine. They hear the gunfire. They know that bad things are going on inside there, and they never get the green light to go do something. Why the administration didn't do anything, that is still relevant, and it's as relevant now as it was on September 11th when that terrorist attack happened. Short intermission for news. The mayor, your comments and questions when we come back on 740 KVOR.
We've been telling you about our friends at American Financing for some time now. They are sponsoring this hour's podcast. American Financing offers the new government-backed down payment for first-time homebuyers. Call American Financing at 630-8181 or online at AmericanFinancing.net.
Richard Randall is on now on Colorado 740 KVOR.
Welcome to the Richard Randall Show. You know, just so much to talk about these days, and we're going to kick over some of the terrorism, some of what is going on in the state legislature, some of the local news over to tomorrow, and we'll finish out the week on Friday doing that. Once a month, we have an opportunity to talk directly to the mayor. It's a great opportunity. I think it's exactly the accountability that the federal government, this president, and many of the legislators in Denver are afraid of. They're afraid of the transparency and the accountability. And because of that, it makes them detached. They are not in contact with and don't understand their constituents, the people who put them in office, the people who they work for. I think that before he was ever elected, Mayor Steve Bock understood, based on the conversations I had with him, that accountability is good. Him understanding what people think, what their comments are, what their questions are, is a very good thing. It allows him and his staff to do their job better and to be better public servants. So once a month, we have an opportunity to do that right here on the Richard Randall Show. Mayor Steve Bock with us. And here's how we're going to do it. We've got a little bit of a technical issue, of course, because of my hip and the recovery from that. So there's a little bit of a time delay sometimes. What I'm going to ask you to do, though, is it's really fairly simple. Some people are not in a position where they can call in to ask their questions. The best way is to call in, 540-0740. It's a talk radio program, and I would tell you that you might have a question for the mayor, but there are a lot of people who don't have questions. Richard, I don't really have a question for the mayor. Well, do you have a comment for the mayor? What would you tell the mayor? Pretend that you're at a public function. The mayor is standing right there. He puts his hand out and says, hello, what do you think? What do you think of the job I'm doing? What do you think of what's going on in the city? That sort of thing. You have an opportunity to talk with them. That's the comment portion of this. Many of you not in a situation where you can do that by calling in. You can text in 964-6852, or you can go ahead and just post something on Facebook. I got the computer up, and I can take that information there as well. Texting thing is taking a little bit of time to get used to. I have to tell you that. But this gives you an example. We were talking about the president the other day. This comes in by text. It says, he is the president propaganda. He uses children for dramatic effect, party planner, community organizer. It's too late. Americans are weak, fragile, hypersensitive, and thin-skinned. We are more concerned about political correctness than public safety, and our enemies exploit that. Well, public safety is one of the things that we'll talk with the mayor about. Good morning, Mr. Mayor. And let's start out with that. I mean, we always talk about security, national security. We talk about in light of what happened in Boston, those kinds of things. But if you had to give an overview of how public safety is, whether it's in light of Waldo Canyon, whether it comes in conjunction with the county, whether it is only your fire department or your police department, what is the status of safety in Colorado Springs?
Well, good morning, Richard. I hope you're getting better and looking forward to you coming back to the studio. We have a lot of work to do in Colorado Springs in public safety. I'm very proud of our police and fire departments. I think they do a tremendous job. We have limited resources, like probably every city in the country, so we don't have enough money to do all that we would like. I will tell you that the tragedy and the terrorist attack in Boston validated for me the value and importance of security cameras as a force multiplier. And we do have some security cameras downtown. And to be honest about it, I'm going to look at if we can afford more in other locations. Obviously, we'll go to City Council with any requests that be public input in that process. So while I think, one of the strongest defenders of individual rights and privacy, on the other hand, looking at security in public spaces, I think we have to consider how we're going to increase public safety without having enough money for truly the number of police officers we need. So we have work to do, but I think our folks are very professional, very good at what they do, and I think we're making progress.
Well, along those lines, I couldn't help, and I think a lot of my listeners, Mayor, and a lot of the people who call into the program are not much different from me. I know you and Susie, you know, you're not just an abstraction. You're people who live in this community. You shop, you go to events, you do all of those kinds of things. Your family does, your friends do, your coworkers do. We're kind of all in this together, and I couldn't help but look at Boston and imagine, but what if that had happened here? What if that had happened during the Pikes Peak Ascent or the Pikes Peak Marathon? What if that had happened during one of the bike races? What if that had happened downtown on a Friday night when we were getting ready for the hill climb? And it's chilling to imagine that sort of thing. Anything along those lines as you were watching what was going on in Boston?
Well, you know, I've said before, Richard, that if all of us will just do one small thing to help our city, the results can be tremendous. And in this context, we each need to take some responsibility for our safety, and that is simply this. When we're at an event, if we see a backpack or a package that's been left without being attended, move away from it immediately. Contact a police officer. If we see someone who is acting suspiciously, move away from that person and contact a police officer. One of those bombs that went off was placed right in front of the crowd next to a mailbox. And I'm sure in the excitement of the race and the heat of the moment, people were focusing on the runners, but and this is true for all of us really all the time. We need to be aware of our surroundings when we're in a shopping center or when we're anywhere where there's a gathering of people. So I think that's the first line of defense. We're doing everything we can to ramp up law enforcement, public safety, as you know, I think. We're adding 50 police officers this year and 25 community service officers, 30 firefighters. That's all with a flat budget, by the way, compared to last year. So we have to work together to increase our security, our safety, and everybody has a part to play.
When it comes to those folks you were just talking about, you know, there is just no question, and I know you well enough, as I said, I know your staff well enough to know that there is huge appreciation for the police officers, the firefighters, the first responders that are out there. You've got a fire chief who's going to be retiring. Talk to me a little, but there is a budget, and it's not always, you know, can we pay people what we wish we could? Can we have as many folks as we wish we could? Could we buy all of the new equipment that we wish we could? There are limitations. You're in a tough position because on the one hand, people want you to be fiscally responsible. And on the other hand, public safety is a main priority. Talk to us a little bit about your fire chief, the job that he's done, and about those officers and those first responders. Because again, Mayor, you know, when I looked at Boston, the one thing I was certain of, if something like that had happened here, I would have been looking at your firefighters and your cops, the sheriff's department, AMR, and all of the rest, and they would have been running to the scene, not away from it.
Well, Richard, I know you're talking about Rich Brown, who just announced that he's going to retire next week after 32 years of service to our city. He has spent his entire professional life protecting our city, and I just have to say he's one of the greatest people I've ever known, not only as a human being, but as a professional. Of course, I got to spend a lot of time with him during the Wallow Canyon fire and otherwise, so I think I've grown to know Rich Brown pretty intimately, and he's a true patriot, a person who deeply loves our city, and, you know, I'm sorry to see him go. He's just done such a tremendous job, but he's earned the right to retire. He is going to help us for a series of months. And by the way, there's some people in the media out there taking shots at my offering Rich Brown some continuing compensation, even though he's retiring. And most of those shots are coming from print media, whose candidate, you know, was not elected mayor. So I think that's part of it. But, you know, first of all, when people like Rich Brown leave, he takes with him a tremendous amount of institutional knowledge and savvy and expertise. And I need to have a chance to garner that from him and to have him at my side as we complete some very important projects for the fire department over the coming months. So I hope that makes sense to people. I think what's most important when people look at my decisions as an executive is what's the big picture? Are we working within the charter, within the approved personnel policy manual that's controlled by city council? Are we being fiscally responsible? And so our budget this year for operating expenses was flat with last year. We've added to it now that we know we've had additional revenue from the end of last year. But I think a chief executive is going to make decisions not everybody's going to agree with on an individual basis. I'm very comfortable with this decision on Rich Brown and others who have left, who I like Mark Earle, who did a great job at the airport, and is going to continue to help us for a period of time. So that's that. With respect to public safety overall, you know, we're just completing a complete compensation study, first time in 12 years in the city. And what we've learned through that, with outside help, expert help, is that our firefighters and our police officers are under market. They're being paid below the middle or below the average of firefighters and police officers elsewhere, cost of living adjusted. And so we have recommended to the city council that we increase salaries for firefighters and police officers right away. And I think that's important to do, to make sure we let our people in public safety know we care about them and we regard them. These salary increases will get our firefighters and our police officers to about the middle of the range for their peers. So we're doing everything we can. I appreciate the public being patient with us as we try to continue to improve service. I'm really proud of everyone in our city government for a can-do attitude that I see every day.
We're going to take a short intermission. We'll take calls for the mayor, comments as well. What do you think about cameras downtown? I'll give my thoughts on that. What do you think about the addition of first responders in a situation where we've got a flat budget? And how about a continuing attempt to garner the expertise of people like Mark Earle, Rich Brown, and especially increases for firefighters and public safety? We'll do all of that. We're going to talk about stormwater, special appropriations, new marketing at the airport, the last election, city council, and a lot more. What's on your mind with the mayor? 540-0740.
Starting your day with a Southern Colorado's Morning News at 5 and Richard Randall, 8:30 to Rush on AM 740 KVOR.
All right, we've got full phone lines. We are on with the mayor, Steve Bock, joining us. And there's so much to talk about. We're going to get to stormwater, special appropriations. We've talked about public safety, the airport. We've all just wanted this airport to prosper. It's harder than you would think it is. You know, I know Mark Earl, and he's a good man, and he has worked hard. I'm glad we're going to have the ability to continue to pick his brain as well as Chief Brown's brain after they are gone. And does that come for free? No, I would expect that value is paid for. So, you know, I'll tell you that right now. When it comes to cameras downtown and other situations, I agree with the mayor. There's a fine line between invading public, your public privacy and making sure that the public is safe. All right, good. Then let's have a debate about that, and let's figure out exactly where to draw that line. We've got full phone lines, 540-0740. The way we're going to do this, I'm going to stay out of the way as much as possible. We'll go ahead, we'll go to the phones, we'll take the question or the comment, and then we will go directly to the mayor, and I'm not going to have to moderate or interject my thoughts in. I can do that every day. So let's go to Rolf. Rolf, you're on 740 KVOR with Mayor Steve Bock.
Good morning, Mayor. My comment and question is that with the solar garden program, the successful solar garden program that was canceled recently by the Council President Keith King, his claim was to save money for utilities. Couldn't we look for other savings in utilities, such as the rent that the utilities are paying at the Plaza of the Rockies? I know you're not part of council, but you do have contact with them. I'm asking you to ask council, how much money are they spending on rent, A1 class office space at Plaza of the Rockies when we have half of the city administration building empty? Couldn't we save that money and put that into the successful solar garden program?
Well, thanks for calling in. First, as to... you're right. Colorado Springs Utilities reports to City Council, not to the mayor. So I have no authority there, but I certainly do talk to Council regularly about that, about the utilities. I believe utilities purchased, I believe it was five floors, condominium purchase in the Plaza Rockies building. So, and that was many years ago, I believe. So that's a question. And, you know, I just have to say to you on the solar garden matter, and again, this was a City Council decision. I will say that I commend them for the decision they made this week. You know, we're going to have to move past the era where we have subsidies into a time which I would just call user pay. Folks who want to have solar certainly should have the right to be able to access that, but I believe they're going to have to pay for it. It is not fair to have all the other ratepayers subsidize what a few people desire. Now, long term, hopefully, the cost of all kinds of renewable energy will come down to a point where it truly is competitive with current fossil fuel generation of electricity, and we can move more toward renewables. But, again, I think we're in an era where we're going to have to be honest with ourselves. We're not going to have the ability to have people subsidize other people, and we're going to have folks, you know, on the basis of user pay. But I will talk to council about your comment, and I appreciate your concern.
Let's go to Jim. Jim, you're on 740 KVOR. Richard Randall and Mayor Steve Bock.
Hi, Mayor. Hey, having been a former police officer in charge of the police reserve program, retired now. I know we had talked when you were running for mayor, and we thought, I had mentioned to you, I thought it was a very viable program, and we no longer have it, which allows for businessmen and very qualified people to work with police officers on the weekends and on busy times and hours. To help save and get more people on the street and free up cars. Is that still in the making, or can you give me any information on it?
Jim, thank you for calling. I'm having difficulty hearing you. I think we're on three different phones here. So, Richard, can you repeat that question?
Well, yes, Mr. Mayor. He was saying, Jim says that he's a former police officer, and he was asking about, you know, a reserve program where on the weekends they had a program where they would have reserves or kind of an auxiliary that help out with businesses and that sort of thing. He thought that that program had gone away. He was hoping that there may be a renewal, as I understand it, of that program, and he is wondering what the status was. And that's a good opportunity for you to talk, I think, think about, you know, volunteering and alternatives to putting more. I want to remind people that, you know, the mayor was just talking about adding 50 police officers, but there are other alternatives, and he was asking about that.
Well, Jim, we are ramping up our community service officer program, which consists of retired and semi-retired police officers and other people with training. And I will, if you will, when we get off here, if you will give your contact information to Richard's producer here, that producer will give that information to Jared Rigo of my staff, and we will have somebody from the police department get back to you today and kind of brief you on that. What I know is that Pete Carey, our police chief, is definitely ramping up the community service officer program, and maybe that's an option for you. Thanks for your interest.
Well, and I have to say, you know, it is one of those things where there are a lot of people out there who just care about this community. And we can all do something, whether it's being vigilant at a public an event. And I was looking at twitchy.com and Michelle Malkin talking about how important that is. You know, she lived on the East Coast for a long time. She lives here. That is something that people can do. Other people, you know, they're willing to donate and volunteer their time for worthwhile causes, and I would encourage that. The one thing I would also encourage is this is the most accessible mayor that I have known. Mr. Mayor, we're going to get ready for a short intermission for news here. We'll come back and add Seth on the line for you, a couple of open lines, and much, much more to talk about. But how should people get in touch with you, whether it's, you know, to volunteer their time or ideas, questions, comments? They may think they've got, you know, the greatest solution to one of the problems here in the city. What's the very best way for them to contact you?
Richard, I have a website, which is the most convenient for most people. I think it's boxoffice.com, BACHSOFFICE.com, or call 385-5900 and ask for Denise Hoover, who's a great lady who helps me communicate with my fellow citizens. I'd love to hear from people, particularly ideas on how we can get better as a city.
We're going to take an intermission for news. When we come back, Margaret Thatcher, is there a connection between her and Mayor Steve Bock and the airport? You know, we would love, it's a great airport. I love flying out of it, but there are still a lot of people, including me from time to time, who might fly out of Denver instead. What can we do about the airport? We'll talk with the mayor about that. Take your calls and questions for him here on 740 KBOR.
AM 740 and Richard Rendell. Not for the faint of heart. AM 740 KBOR. And KBOR.com. Depend on it.
Richard Rendell, Mayor Steve Bock, and you, your questions and your comments for the mayor as well. And again, if you're only hearing a portion of this, I want to remind you, you get a second bite at the apple. You can listen from 10 to 11 o'clock this evening on the Richard Rendell Rewind, or, of course, just go to the KVR website. You can listen to the podcast. Mr. Mayor, one of the things I wanted to talk with you about, and it comes up almost every time that we do talk with you, but it's a continuing issue, and there's always something, it seems, that's happening. Give us the latest status when it comes to stormwater. And we're getting into that time of year where it becomes a very real issue in terms of the weather. It's certainly going to be an issue in terms of potential flooding after Waldo Canyon. But in terms of our drainage and fees and how we address that issue, it's always a topic. And the very latest on that, if you would.
Richard, the city of Colorado Springs is moving forward on stormwater, not only in terms of planning, but also in construction. And I don't think that's been well covered by the media thus far. You know, we said at the beginning of the year that between Colorado Springs Utilities and our municipal government that we would be spending about $28 million this year on stormwater improvements. Since then, a couple things have happened. One is I have asked City Council to allow us to withdraw some of our rainy day funds, some of our reserves, for Waldo Canyon Fire flood mitigation. I think it's about $8.8 million, plus another $1.2 million for other stormwater-related training and matters. And we're also spending money on Pikes Peak Highway on stormwater, and our airport enterprise is also launching stormwater improvements out there. All in this year, all of our city entities, including utilities and the municipal government, we're now going to be spending $46 million. That is very significant. I hope people understand that we are not sitting by idly here. So short term, we are taking action. And we have asked, and the city council, I appreciate, has approved drawing down our reserves somewhat. And, you know, I've been criticized by some for building up our reserves. This is exactly why we need reserves. When we get into a situation where we have an emergency or an urgent need to protect our citizens, we have to take action. So on the Wola Canyon Fire special appropriation, we're going to be mitigating Camp Creek that comes down through Garden of Gods into Pleasant Valley, which, you know, 31st Street there, improving that significantly. We're also going to be working on both forks of Douglas Creek up in Mountain Shadows to try to mitigate that, including holding ponds, so that when we get downpour, we won't hopefully have a flood. So we're moving forward there. Now, secondly, in terms of the longer-range approach, I have asked our staff to obtain a outside expert engineering second opinion on what truly is our stormwater improvement scope. How serious is it? What are those projects? And what should be our priorities? There's a regional stormwater task force that was formed some time ago by the county commissioners and the city council that met with me, and I had heard previously that they had estimated we had $500 million in stormwater needs in our city. When I met with them, they told me it was almost $700 million. Well, that's a huge increase. And I just think, as with one's health, you know, if you get a bad diagnosis from your doctor, probably prudent to get a second opinion. So we're doing that now in the case of stormwater. We've invited the county and the outlying municipalities to join us, use the same engineering firm we are, so that everyone will have their own perspective. And we expect the result of that by the end of the summer. Now, separately, our staff is pursuing a discussion of all the alternate ways that we can pay for stormwater over the coming decades, all the way from additional internal efficiencies. I think you know we've redeployed significant dollars towards stormwater. We've not filled vacant positions. We've eliminated many authorized positions in our city government that we didn't think we had to have, even though we would have liked to have had those people. We've changed some other programs and reduced costs to redeploy dollars to stormwater. And we'll continue that. Hopefully, City Council is working with Colorado Springs Utilities so that they, too, can hopefully find ways to contribute to stormwater. I know in talking with Manitou Springs Mayor Mark Snyder that Manitou is also looking at drawing down some of its reserves to do some of its stormwater improvements, and I commend Mayor Snyder and the Manitou folks for taking action. I'm not aware of whether or not El Paso County has spent any money or is going to spend any money on stormwater. I, of course, urge them to do so, to join Manitou Springs and Colorado Springs in a regional collaboration this year. So I expect by fall to be coming forward with a longer-range recommendation on how we're going to handle stormwater. And keep in mind, that's not all of our issues. We've got roads and bridges that are crumbling. We've got police cars that are way past when they should have been traded in. Fire equipment's going to need to be replaced. So we got a lot of heavy lifting to do, but I've got a lot of great people working on the problem, and we'll be coming forward by fall with a longer-range plan.
One of the things that is always on our minds, and it has been for a long time, ever since we built a wonderful new airport, and I love it. It's a great place to fly in and out of. Let's talk with Seth about the airport. Your questions and comments from Mayor Steve Buck.
Good morning, Mr. Mayor. I just had a quick question regarding the airport. I travel a lot around the country, as does my family, and we've had issues, you know, with theft from TSA and stuff. When I was over in Montana a while back, noticed one of the national parks up there had contracted the services to a private company to eliminate waste and improve customer service overall. Have you thought about putting in a privatized service instead of TSA? Is that something you guys can do?
Richard, could you repeat the last part of that question for me, please?
I sure can. Let me thank you for the call, Seth. And again, you know, because of my hip and the surgery, we're going through some different technical things and makes it a little bit more difficult. And that's what we're experiencing here. He was basically saying, you know, he'd been in other locations, other airports. And when it came to TSA, you know, whether it's based on efficiencies or whether it's based on cost savings, there are places in the nation where local communities have taken over the security and that sort of thing. Has that ever been considered out at the Springs Airport?
You know, I don't know the answer to that question. I will find out. I'll be talking to Dan Gallagher, our interim aviation director, and this gentleman will leave his contact information with your producer. We'll get back to him. I'll tell you this, that Dan Gallagher has convinced the TSA to open all four of the security lines at the airport earlier. We've had a situation, particularly on Monday mornings, with a lot of people trying to leave on flights and have been backed up because TSA only had two of the four lines open early in the morning. Now, that's been changed, I understand. All four lines are open, and we have a new physical arrangement there, which is, I hope, much more convenient for people. And so as to privatizing or handling our own security, that's a fair question. I'll check into that. Maybe next month I can give you a direct report, Richard. I just would say this about our airport. It's a great facility, and I know it's a chicken or an egg issue. If we had more direct flights, more people would fly out of here. Well, the airlines tell me if we had more people willing to fly out of here, they'd have more direct flights. So I'm asking our community, starting with the Regional Business Alliance as our key business organization, to encourage everyone in business especially, but also us as consumers, to use our airport, even if it's slightly less convenient maybe or slightly more expensive. I really think when people add up all the components to travel, not only the flight cost, but cost of parking, amount of time consumed, the hassle, our airport looks really great. You know, typically we have almost no waiting in the TSA lines. There's ample parking 2 minutes from the door. We have a shuttle that will pick you up and take you to the terminal. And when you come back, we'll take you back to your car. We've got some new restaurants there. I really think that if we'll use our airport more, we'll see more flights. We're talking to a number of airlines about adding direct flights to other destinations than what we have now, and I'm hoping that we'll have an announcement here in the next month or two.
All right, we're going to take a short intermission. When we come back, we're going to talk with the mayor more about city council, the interaction. We've got a new city council based on the election that we've had. We'll also talk about utilities and some of the biggest issues, upcoming events. And I'm going to ask the mayor about the state legislature and what of all of the things that they have been doing up there will have an impact on Colorado Springs. Or is the answer, no, Richard, you know, they're doing a lot of things up there, but most of them don't have an impact here. We'll finish out with the mayor here on 740 KVOR.
Your cell phone is now a microphone to all of Southern Colorado. AM 740 KVOR and KVOR.com. 540-0740.
And it's a pretty darn big microphone. You get a chance to share that with me. And I want to remind people, yes, I'm the host of the show, and I'm pretty good at doing it. I'm not just good at doing it. I'm great at doing it. Of course, that's why I do it. But it is great callers, great listeners that make a difference as well. Once a month, we're joined by the mayor, and Mayor Steve Bock joining us on the radio is one thing, but there's an opportunity, and you do this several times per year, for people to join you in person. You go around the community, different locations. You'll have town meetings, and having been at several of those and been the MC at those, I have to encourage people. It's a great opportunity. Usually, you've got your staff with you. Laura Newman is out there. You've got your chiefs with you, and when people want to know about questions or comments, it's a pretty good thing to do. Do you have any of those coming up?
Yes, Richard, we're going to have a town hall, our next one, in fact, next Tuesday, April 30th at Sand Creek High School at 7005 North Carefree. It's on the east side of town from 6:30 p.m. to 8 p.m. Really encourage folks to come out and spend some time with our staff and me. We need help from our fellow citizens in determining the most important priorities for next year's budget and beyond. And in fact, we're having a town hall meeting monthly this year, every month. We've already had three. Folks can find out the timing and where those town hall meetings will be by going to my website, boxoffice.com. And next Tuesday, Sand Creek High School, 6:30 p.m., we'd love to see a lot of people come out.
I have to recommend people. I know that everybody is busy. It's hard for you to get out there. But I'd also recommend, you know, if you've got your kids or your grandkids and you're thinking, you know, I can't go because of that, it's exactly the opposite. I think it's a great opportunity to take your kids with and them to see government in action. And, of course, they get a chance maybe to shake hands with the fire chief, the police chief, or the mayor. But for them to see how government best works, which is accountability and direct communication between the public and the mayor, is a very, very good thing. We had an election, and I've had people say, well, the election was a referendum on the mayor. There were a couple of people that had been strong allies of the mayor. They weren't reelected. Isn't that a referendum on the mayor? I said that I didn't think it was at all, that I thought that the election, the candidates stood by themselves, and because a candidate did or didn't get elected was not a reflection on the mayor himself. But as you look at this mayor and you look at a new city council, what are your thoughts on the election results and the new council that you're going to be working with?
Richard, the way I read the election is that the voters are still not happy with the way we are running our city government. And I take part of the responsibility for that. I need to get better, especially in my relationship with city council. You know, I've talked about this pretty regularly. I could probably use a diplomacy coach, you know, but I'm working on it. I'm trying hard. And I do think the election was anti-incumbency. I believe that the voters who strongly, resoundingly rejected that big salary increase for council also were saying something about the incumbents. It may be more than that. But I do want people to know that I view that also as a kind of a first quarter grade report for me, which means I need to get better. So I really am encouraged by this new council in several ways. Just watching them, the first two meetings they had this week, first of all, despite some very difficult topics and lack of agreement among all of them on decisions, I thought they generally, most of them at least, really handled themselves with decorum and mutual respect. I think that's very important. We can debate strenuously. We should do so respectfully and frankly not take things personally. And once we've made a decision, at least in my case, I just put that to bed and move on to the next opportunity. So a lot of good folks on council, and I think we have a real chance to make substantial headway in moving our city forward with this new group.
When it comes to the state legislature, we of course cover a lot of the national things. When something like Boston happens, we really pivot to that and focus very extensively on that because a lot of things not covered in the mainstream media. But there have been a lot of major developments with a state legislature that is controlled by liberals and by Democrats with a Democratic mayor. As you keep an eye on the state legislature, are there any things that are either pending or that have gone through that are on your radar because of how they're going to impact you and the city?
Well, there is one very important matter, but before I get to it, I want to say that the state's decision on gun control legislation is a mistake. It's not going to improve safety. It didn't stop that bombing in Boston. And even if we ban all guns, they'll be coming in here on the black market from Mexico and elsewhere. So we need to have a serious conversation about truly how to reduce violent crime in this country. And it is not by...
And I'll tell you what, that's where we're going to have to leave it. We're just out of time. The music means that Rush is getting ready to go. And next time we talk, next month, we'll pick it up in terms of the state legislature, some of the pending things there. In fact, I'll get in touch with you and your staff to make sure that if there's something we need to be talking about next week on that, that we will be doing that. I want to remind people next Tuesday, April 30th, from 6:30 to 8 o'clock, Sand Creek High School, there will be a town hall meeting. And then, as always, boxoffice.com. I'll see you back here tomorrow morning at 8:30.